Our Lord Jesus, what can we say this morning? That you went through all the pain, you went through all the shame just for us so that we might be saved. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the church. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to know you. Father, what can we say? Father, we say we love you, we appreciate you. We thank you. We thank you. Blessed be your name. Amen. Let's be seated for a moment. Good morning, everybody. I don't know about you guys, but I just feel like I'm in heaven right now. I don't know how to explain it. I think sometimes people say I get a bit too excited, but my excitement is from within. When I think of what Jesus has done in my life, not the things that Jesus has done necessarily for me, but the fact that I can wake up in the morning and Jesus is always there with me, that just really makes my day. Amen. Please, you can grab a seat. Okay, so good morning, everybody. We're going to carry on from where we left last time. We've been looking at a series this month called Who is This Jesus? Who is This Jesus? And we've looked at a few things for the past 3 weeks. This is the fourth installment of the series. And we looked at things like, why did Jesus endure all the pain going to the cross? Why did he endure that? And we saw at the end that he endured all that because of us. We also looked at the significance of the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw a number of things that has accomplished in our lives. So today we're just going to carry on from there. And what we're looking at today is the fact that even though Jesus has done all those things for us, he hasn't left us alone. He hasn't left us alone. So I'm just going to spend a little time looking at that. I'm just going to make about 3 main points. Then after that, we'll just pray. I believe that God is doing something in this season. And when I mean something in this season, I believe he's doing something that is very personal in our lives. I know that there are times we say, well, God is doing something on the earth. God is, he's doing something in the earth and all that, and he is. But I believe that in this season, God is doing something in our lives individually, if we let him. Or should I say, if we are conscious of that. But I'll talk about that another time. So I'm looking at the fact that Jesus has not just left us alone. So Jesus was around with his, he was around 2,000 years ago. He was with his disciples. And he had been through a lot with them. He had spent about 3.5 years with them. And he now began to tell them that I am going away. And they didn't really understand what that meant at that time. So they thought, what is Jesus really talking about? And a lot of things happened during that time before he was crucified. He spoke so much about his going. And the Bible tells us something about the disciples then, that they became a bit concerned. Actually, they were a bit sad. And they were probably thinking, man, Jesus, how can you take us on this journey? We've been with you every day. You have provided for us. You have, helped us. You've been there for us. When you go, what is going to happen to us? Who is going to take care of us? So they felt like they were in a bit of a dilemma because they thought they were just going to be left alone. Jesus said he was going to come back. But the thought probably was going through their mind, no problem, you're going to come back. But when you when you go, what's going to happen to us? What is our life going to look like? Who is going to help us? So they were thrown in a bit of a panic at that time. But Jesus began to tell them a number of things, and I believe it's the same thing that Jesus is telling us, you know, even at this time as well. So the first thing Jesus mentioned to them, well, Jesus made very clear, which is the first point I'm going to make today, was that he said everything, when he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. I'm going to read a portion of scripture, then I'll just try and explain what that means a bit. I'll look at John chapter 19 and verse 30, the first part. John chapter 13 and verse 30, the first part. It says, this was Jesus on the cross. It says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So one might be wondering, why did Jesus say it is finished on the cross? What did that really mean? In the eyes of the disciples, when they saw him hanging on the cross, for them, Jesus saying it is finished didn't really make sense. In their own eyes, it was as if trouble had just started for them. It was as if their life had just taken a turn for the worst. And they were like, what does Jesus mean when he said it's finished? How can it be finished when my life is, you know, what's going to happen to me? How can he say it's finished? What does that mean? But we begin to understand what Jesus meant when he said it's finished as we read through the Bible. Last time we said that Jesus did so many things or accomplished so many things on the cross. He delivered us from the power of the devil. He reconciled us back to God. And so many things that the Bible says we have in Christ. So when Jesus said that it was finished, what he was saying there was that everything that they would ever need for their future, God has already provided. The Bible tells us in, I believe, Ephesians chapter 1 and 3, or around, in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that God has given us, God has set us, I'm just trying to remember, no, sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. That portion of scripture says something. It says God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Do you understand? So Jesus isn't just going to do or provide for us or help us. He has provided that help already. So going back to that 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, it says, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness according to the knowledge of God. That means when Jesus said it was finished, what he was saying was that there are so many things that I have accomplished for you. I don't have to come and do anything again per se. What you have to do now is to discover what it is that I have finished in your life. Do you understand? So that's what he meant by it is finished. So he said, look, my, as far as salvation is concerned, as far as your future is concerned, as far as your worries are, as far as everything that's concerned you, as far as all that, it is finished. It is done. So Jesus says, I don't have to come and do anything again. You have to just discover what that is. So that was the first point that he put across that wasn't really clear. Now, the second thing we see here is this. Jesus understood something, and he didn't just cushion them up and say, well, it's finished. Your problems are all solved. Everything is going to be hunky-dory. You know, there are times that we are telling people about Christ. Maybe they're like, why should I be a Christian? What does it mean? I mean, what does that mean, be born again and all that? And there are times that we might take the route of saying to them, come to Jesus and all your problems will be solved. Jesus will sort you out. You won't have any. Really, that's setting them up for what I'll call, I don't want to say for failure, because Jesus doesn't set up anybody for failure. But that's setting them up for disappointment based on not really telling people the fact that, look, yeah, you're going to become a Christian. God's going to help you. However, Jesus said something that we need to note here, which is the second point. He wanted them to be conscious of what was going to be happening around them so that they would not be surprised. So the second point he made here was that he told them in John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33 said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But he now goes on to say, in this world you will have trouble. But he said, take heart. He said, in this world that you're in, if anybody tells you that it's going to be smooth sailing all along, they haven't given you the proper information. Because Jesus himself was saying that in this world, you will have trouble. He didn't say you may have trouble. He didn't say you might. He didn't say probably there's the possibility that is a 50-50% chance that you're going to have trouble. He said no. He says you will. He says you will have trouble. But he didn't stop there. He said, take heart. I've overcome the world. So the difference between being a believer in Christ and being a Christian and not being a Christian when it comes to trouble is this. For people who are not believers, who are not born again, who do not have faith in Christ, they will have to sort out their trouble themselves. They will have to sort it out themselves. And I tell you, there's some troubles that one encounters that the human strength and human solutions cannot cater for. So Jesus says that everybody is going to face trouble. But the difference is that he said to us, when we face trouble, he says we should take heart because we are not alone. We're not just going to deal with the problems we face by ourselves. So he was setting up their expectation, giving them real expectations that, look, don't kid yourself. When you face trouble, which you will, relax. Why? He says, I've overcome the world. Which means Jesus has made provision to help us as we go through this life till we meet him at the end. So this brings me to my third section and my final section here. Today we're just talking about Jesus. And you know, the song that we were singing earlier on, if I had my way, we'll just keep singing it forever and ever. It says, Jesus, the Lamb of God, worthy is your name. You know? And he goes, you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. Do you get what I mean? So Jesus says, look, it's finished. The second thing he says is, we will definitely face trouble. No doubt about it. But what distinguishes us from people who do not know the Lord is that we are not going to face that trouble by ourselves. Jesus has made provision for that. So he was reassuring his disciples, and the same way he's reassuring us at the moment. Now, so what are the things that Jesus has given us to help us in times of trouble? Well, there are things that are not available to people who are not Christians, unfortunately. And that's the truth. And I'm going to look at three things this morning. And I want us to take these things to heart. Do you understand? Because as we take them to heart, we will realize that whatever trouble we face, Jesus is in it with us. So I'll look at three things this morning, then we will pray. So the first thing he says to them is this. There is something I'm going to give you. Three things. The first one is supernatural peace. And I'll read from John chapter 14, verse 27. John chapter 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So Jesus begins to make a point here that the first thing that he has given us, which we must hold to heart, is not just peace, supernatural peace. And he makes a distinction here. He says, look, the kind of peace that I'm giving you is not the type of peace that the world can give you. You know, there are times that, and we thank God for the advancement in medical science. We thank God for the care that we receive from people. We thank God for the support that people give us when we're going through trying times. But Jesus said that in the world that you and I live in, that kind of peace is not going to do the job. It might do part of the job, but it really will not accomplish the job. It is the supernatural peace that he gives that accomplishes that. Now, what do I mean by that? In America, I had the statistic. Someone said that there's a statistics that this person outlined. And they said that in the United States, that at least, he said, I'm not quite sure, I know it was maybe between 50 to 70% of the population, but I'll go with 50% because I think I want to go with the lowest denominator on antidepressants. They're on antidepressants. Now, am I saying that people shouldn't use antidepressants? No, I'm not saying that. God gives us knowledge so that we can, you know, help ourselves. So I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm not saying if someone is, it's like, you know, no. It's just like if you have a headache, you can take, what's the name of that thing? Like the headache thing, paracetamol. So God is the one that has given us knowledge. I believe that anything that does good to man, God's fine with it. But that's not the point I'm making here. The point I'm making is that this world is full of so much stress that for people to cope sometimes, they have to use help from all over. Can you imagine that? They said it's a multi-billion dollar industry. Why? Because people are finding it difficult to cope with the struggles of life. There are people who are wealthy. Some people might say, if I had a lot of money, I wouldn't have troubles. Apparently, it's the people that have a lot of money that, you know, some people say, okay, if I have nice children, if everything, and there are people that have all these things, but they're still stressed out and unhappy. And they're now like, what is this life about? Why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? They were interviewing this girl, this woman, on telly. I've forgotten her name. And she said something, young woman, maybe in her 30s, quite a popular singer. And she said at one point in her life, she had to go for therapy. The person who was interviewing her said, oh, why? She said she needed someone to help her put things in perspective because in her world, she didn't have any problems. She had, you know, a nice career she liked. She had a nice house. Her husband loves her. Her kids love her. No problem. But for some reason, she was just always sad. And she was like, someone needs to help me make sense of this. Someone needs to help me make sense of this, she said. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying is this. One of the things that we need in this world is peace of mind. And Jesus said that there is a supernatural kind of peace that he gives us that will calm our nerves down and give us a life that is peaceful. But that peace is supernatural. So Jesus knew that we would go through all the challenges that we go through at the moment. Do you understand? So the next thing we look at is this. So Jesus said he will give them and he has given us supernatural peace. So the next thing we look at is this. Jesus now says, apart from the supernatural peace, apart from the supernatural peace that we have, or that he's given us, he has also given us supernatural comfort. So if you look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, he says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit multiplied. So the second thing that we see that Jesus gives and that he's given us is supernatural comfort. So if I rewind again, we see that Jesus said firstly to his disciples when he was leaving that it's finished. The second thing he mentioned to them was that in this world we will have trouble. And he says he's prepared something for a number of things to help us through this life. The first one is peace that we looked at, a supernatural kind of peace. The second thing that I'm looking at now is supernatural comfort. Now, what is comfort, right? Comfort, I believe, is when maybe, well, not I believe, let me just try and describe it. It's like once you're going through like a really hard day, you've had like a really hard day, or something's really on your mind, or you're just, I mean, it's just life has been so hectic, and you're just tired. Maybe you are even in pain, and it's like, man, I'm just so. And someone comes to you and just says, you know, I'm here for you, all these things that you're going through, you know, I'm just. And they comfort you. They make you feel better, as in they calm your nerves down. Do you understand? Or maybe you have a child, and that child is running up and down, and they stumble, they injure themselves, maybe on their legs and all that, and they're crying, and the mom runs there, or auntie, and is like, oh, and they get that child, and they're like, oh, don't worry, everything is fine. They mend the wound, and they say, this is a big ice cream for you to, to nibble on, and the child calms down. Why? Because that child has received comfort. Then they're able to just function normally. They're able to just proceed with life. So the second thing that God gives us, or that Christ gives us, is comfort. But it's a supernatural kind of comfort. It's a supernatural kind of comfort. Now, why am I making this point, right? I'm making this point because there are certain things that an individual will go through. There are certain things that one might go through in life that your friend or the people who love you telling you, oh, it's going to be all right, cannot ease. There are certain kind of things that one, there are certain things that one goes through in life that the normal kind of comfort might not suffice. The normal kind of comfort might not suffice. I remember there was a time that I was like feeling like really sad. A number of things had happened. I was like, man, I feel so sad. And all that, like, oh my goodness. You know, I was like, and I remembered the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And it was literally as if God himself just came and sat with me. And he put his arm around me. And something happened to me. I felt supernatural comfort. It was as if everything I was feeling at that point, the sadness, the weight of the sadness I was feeling, and I was like, it seemed like nothing could, you know, calm that sadness. It just melted away. And I felt relieved. And I began to understand that when Jesus said that he gives us supernatural comfort, it is something that is real. It is something that is real. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that there are certain things that Christ gives us and that he's given us to take us through this journey of life. And those things are only available in Christ. And those are the things that we need to really go through this life so that we don't self-destruct, so to speak. All right? Now, the final thing I want to look at, and we'll pray. So we're looking at the things that Jesus has done for us in terms of getting us along this world so that we are able to really live life and cope with life in a way that is not just dragging ourselves through life, but really enjoying what Christ has done for us. So the third thing I'm going to look at this time, which is the final thing, is that Jesus has not left us alone. So when he was with his disciples and he told them that he was going and that they would not see him, they literally, I believe, panicked, like I mentioned earlier. I was like, who's going to help us? Who is going to, you know, we're going to be stuck. So Jesus says, okay, look, I've given you guys peace that will help you. He says, look, I've given you guys supernatural comfort. Then he goes a step further and he says, look, even though I'm not going to be here with you guys physically, I will not leave you alone. Then he goes on and he says he will send them the Holy Spirit. And I look at John chapter 14, verse 16. John chapter 14, verse 16. It says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So it was like Jesus was covering all the bases. He said, look, I'm giving you peace, supernatural peace. I'm giving you supernatural comfort. But also, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to be with you, not sometimes, but he said, all the time, forever. All the time, forever. That's what Jesus said. And so we see also from John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything that I have said. So Jesus has sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. So as we live our lives and we become more conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we begin to see that all the things that Jesus said he has done already, as we looked at earlier, all the things that he said are finished. We will begin to experience those things in our lives. Do you understand? So, what am I saying here today? We're looking at, who is this Jesus? We've been looking at that for the past couple of weeks. And today we're looking at the fact that Jesus has not left us alone. He hasn't said, well, get on with life. Let me see how far you can go. Carry on. Let me see what you can do. You know, just suck it up and just get on with it. No. He hasn't done that to us. He said, look, even though you guys have trouble in this world, don't be bothered about that. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And I have given you supernatural peace. I've given you supernatural comfort. And I have left the Holy Spirit with you to help you. Amen. So this morning, I'm just going to end there. And I'd just like us to just pray. I've given like a few examples, earlier. This world that we live in at the moment is tough. But that's not the point. The point is that no matter how tough it gets, no matter how unbearable it gets for the world, Jesus says that it doesn't have to be like that for you and I. We can live in this world in such a manner that it appears that nothing is happening around you. And you're living in the supernatural peace, the supernatural comfort of God. And the great thing is that all these things are available to us now. They're not things that you have to go and get somewhere. They're not things that you have to do a specific thing to get. As a believer, these are things that are there for you as you're seated here. But you and I have just to remind ourselves of these things. And be conscious that these things are available to us. Do you understand? So that's what I'm reminding us about this morning. And like I said, when I wake up in the morning, a lot of the times I'm excited. I'm not excited necessarily because of maybe something good or something that I'm looking forward to, although I do that, but I'm excited because I know that, wow, Jesus is with me, the Holy Spirit is with me. That irrespective of what I'm facing or what might come my way, Jesus has said, relax, no problem at all. Amen. So I just want us to just take some time this morning. You can sit where you are and just let's just reflect and pray. And the prayer I want to pray this morning is, God, help me to understand your supernatural peace. God, help me to understand your supernatural comfort. Lord, help me to know the working of the Holy Spirit in my life. So let's just take some time to reflect. We'll just reflect. Father, we thank you. We just thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you for the supernatural peace that you've given us. Father, we thank you for the supernatural comfort that you've given us. Father, we thank you for everything that you've provided for us. Not that we deserve anything that you've done for us, but because of your love and your care for us. Father, we give you praise this morning. So we'll just reflect and just have a word with the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you because you're the one that keeps us. We'll just take time to reflect this morning. Father, we thank you.